Hey everybody, before this episode starts, I just want to check in and tell you that today's episode is a live episode recorded in Seattle at Bumbershoot. So there are things that are happening within this podcast. We show some clips that are maybe a little bit more visual than you're used to, but I didn't want to cut them out because I wanted you to hear some of the commentary over them, and I think that they are pretty well described. So I wanted to curb any sort of comments about that right at the top and just tell you that's what you're in store for. Now get ready for a live episode of How Did This Get Made?
Throat rips, monster trucks, bar fights, and pleated pants. We saw Roadhouse, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made Live! We are in Seattle at Bumbershoot. And man, oh man, we have an amazing movie today. But first, let's welcome my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas. All right. June Diane Raphael. And our very special guest, the first returning guest on How Did This Get Made, Doug Benson.
All right. Here we go.
What's up, jerks?
This movie, wow. I haven't seen it in a long time, Roadhouse, and it's amazing.
This movie is fucking fantastic.
Yeah. It's quite good.
I think it's probably the best B movie there is, and there's so much insane stuff in it. Like, it's a mainstream movie, but it's insane.
Just when the movie starts to slow down, I feel like shit happens that is just like, oh, we're gonna drive a monster truck through a car shop right now? All right, cool.
You know a movie's good when in the first 3 minutes a woman is being kicked in the pussy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a
right
crazy
away.
Moment, too, because she calls in one of the first scenes of the movie, she calls a guy who she's with at a bar an asshole, and then he kicks her off a stool.
She stabs him first. She stabs
no,
him first.
No, she didn't stab him.
Yeah, she stabbed the money.
She stabbed the money.
She says
he said she was worth.
Yeah. Sorry, you're right. He gives her $100. This is also an era where everybody's carrying $100 bills. Like, inexplicably, like, here's $100 bill. She stabs it. He kicks her in the fucking pussy.
But wait a second.
It's
now,
crazy.
I think the idea is that she's a hooker. And he goes, you're worth $100. She's like, I'm worth more than $100. Stabs the $100 bill.
See, I thought it was that he was treating her like a hooker. And she definitely wasn't a hooker.
I think that was it.
Oh, okay.
She was not worth $100.
Yeah, she was just a knife-wielding lady.
Exactly.
Not a hooker.
Come on.
By the way,
I'm going down to the Roadhouse tonight. I got to take my knife.
Everyone,
someone gives me hooker money.
Every single person in this movie carries a knife.
It's as if there is no such thing as guns.
Yes.
It really is like, well, I've got my knife that's strapped to my leg, or I've got my knife over here. Everybody's got knives.
And the knives are super big, like almost comically, and the guns are tiny.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
The knives per capita in this city, in this little outskirts of Kansas City. Where are they in again? I forget the name of the town.
Jasper.
Jasper, yeah.
Good old Jasper.
But it starts, that first fight with the $100 bill is in New York, right? That's his first bar, isn't it?
No, he's not in New York anymore, right? I thought his car is just New York plates.
Where's the first bar that he's at? The place where what's his name finds him and is like, I know who you are.
I think it's undisclosed. It's just in another
somewhere else.
It's the city, though.
Yeah.
God,
look, he's so cool. He never changes his plates. He's got New York plates, but it doesn't mean that he's from New York.
The only thing this movie has more of than knives is horrible 80s fake tits.
Yeah.
And women who are willing to show them.
A lot.
Literally just like rocks in their chests. It is disgusting.
I do think the movie starts off very boldly because you start off, you know, Patrick Swayze is being watched as he's being a cooler, which is not a bouncer. This is a guy above the bouncers. Coolers.
Well, Paul, you don't have to explain it because everybody knows what a cooler is, right?
Was William H. Macy a cooler in that movie, The Cooler?
That's a different kind of cooler.
No, that's a... Yeah. Patrick Swayze doesn't go places and make people's luck change while playing cards. He's the Uber bouncer.
He's the Uber bouncer who has three rules, but... It's a bold move to have a fight scene, and the first time you reveal him full, he's wearing like Z Cavaricci's. Like, I'm not afraid of a bouncer in pleated pants.
Oh, yeah. And he is later in the movie wearing what appears to be like a blousy jeans and a karate gi as a shirt.
Yeah,
and he's sexy
that karate
as well.
Gi shirt is pretty amazing.
Well.
He is constantly wearing, I'm pretty sure, women's clothes.
Jonah Ray called that karate casual when we did a live interruption of the movie one time.
I love that he also is unfazed by being stabbed. Yes. He gets stabbed in the first 5 minutes, doesn't even blink, doesn't even question it. Like, oh, all right, here we go, come outside. Yep. Like, and it was a bad stab, too.
Oh, yeah. But he stitches it up himself because he's a fucking badass. He's like 5'5", 100 pounds of pure power. He must be standing on like an apple box every scene. Kelly Lynch's love interest literally is a giant. He is miniature.
They hammer him with the "I thought you'd be bigger" thing. Like, they really make a big point out of how small he is.
Well, I mean, also, if we're going to talk about like the ridiculousness of Patrick Swayze being a bouncer, then Ben Gazzara is the bad guy. Even in this, Ben Gazzara is an old man. Like, he's like in his like late 40s, early 50s. Like, he's no match for the 20-year-old Patrick Swayze, even in his blousy clothes.
And his sweatpants.
And he has that crazy scene where he's just driving in his caddy, singing along to... What's he listening to? Like Frank Sinatra,
Tony Bennett?
And it's so like 80s Richie Rich excess.
Yes,
like, I'm
the way
so
he's
rich,
swerving.
I'm not...
I use the whole road. That's how rich
that's
I
how
am.
That's how much money I have.
And that's like...
I put a dog on top of the car and I use the whole road.
The way that they show that he's a bad guy in the beginning is that he takes over the whole road. He also has late night parties, like swim parties.
Oh, and he rides in a helicopter.
He rides in a helicopter.
He commutes in a helicopter.
Yeah, by the way, commutes to where? To town?
Who knows?
Because his
business appears to be extorting money from the townspeople.
From only this town.
Only
Jasper, which is...
It is like a tiny town
maybe,
in Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
And he appears to be a multimillionaire by extorting them for protection money. He is like a one-man mafia for a ghost town
because
in Texas.
Seriously, how much money could those places really be bringing in?
Because he only takes 10% of the auto shop. Like, what? That's like what? Like maybe 15, 20 bucks?
Maybe 6 people a week come in for wipers
seriously.
And oil. Like nothing.
Oh, I showed June this. If you watch that scene, I didn't put it here because it doesn't really fit for the podcast, but if you watch a scene where he's getting wipers for Patrick Swayze's character, you can see a prop master handing the wipers through.
That's awesome.
It's like literally handing it through the corner of the screen. Go back and watch that scene. It's
my favorite
amazing.
Ben Gazzara line that establishes he has like a whole speech to Patrick Swayze about how powerful he is. And he goes, "JCPenney is coming here because of me." What? That's your brag?
We're getting Walgreens. That's
how powerful
power.
I am. You get the max for the minimum at TJ Maxx because of me.
KB Toys is rumored to be developing in our town square.
Need I bring up Build-A-Bear? We're getting two of them.
I'm talking to the people at Orange Julius. They're not ready to commit yet. The other thing about this small town, besides the fact that he's extorting them and is a rich millionaire, is the fact that there's no cops in this movie. There's no penalties for serious crimes.
Such as murder?
Yeah.
Swayze straight up murders a dude. Nothing happens.
Nothing.
Like, zero.
He gets flowers.
He rips a dude's throat out. Zero happens.
Let me just give you an idea of what the bar fights in this town look like. Obviously, Patrick Swayze is recruited to come to this town because this guy has big plans for his bar.
Wait, can I just, for one second, that guy, wait, it's Kevin Tug, right? Is his name? Okay. He's trying to recruit Patrick Swayze, and this is what he says about his bar. It used to be a pretty sweet deal. Now it's the kind of place where they sweep up. Now it's the kind of place where they sweep up eyeballs after closing.
Yeah. Sweep up the eyeballs, man.
Plural eyeballs. Oh, I guess we locked the doors. Let's sweep up the eyeballs.
Why don't they just have the eyeball club meet somewhere else?
Guys, stop bringing these eyeballs into the bar. Come on. Your bottles break all the time.
JK, it's just peeled grapes.
They're really good. It's scary for Halloween. All right, so this is a fight that breaks out in the after a man... A man that has a woman with very nice bosoms. He's like, hey, you want to feel my girlfriend's breasts for $20?
Kiss him. He says you can kiss him for $20.
Guy goes over, gropes her for a little bit of time, and then he's like, I don't have $20. And then all hell breaks loose.
By the way, though, before you play this, Paul, she seems totally fine with what's happening.
Oh, she's totally, yeah.
The guy that is offering it is disgusting.
Yeah.
Is gross. Covered in sweat and looks like a monster.
Also, there's a great line in here, too. I'll play this first. Here we go. This is a normal night. That's a woman. This is a normal night. That is a normal night for that bar. The most insane fight scene ever. That makes like that just because one man didn't have $20, that broke out.
Immediately.
It escalates so quickly too. It is like as if everybody is ready to fight, and it's just that one guy pushes the other guy, and then it's like, rah!
Yeah, we all have permission.
Let's go down to the Double Deuce and wait for fighting.
who's that waitress?
Girls, too,
who did
man.
She, yeah, who was she? Who, did
oh,
she,
she's
was
Luke's
she planning
sister
on
Gilmore
aiming,
Girls.
But was she planning on aiming the bottle at the guy she hit?
Yeah. Apparently not.
Who was she
I
going
I accidentally
for?
Hit the guy they cut to two times prior to set up that something's going to happen to this dude.
Who appears to be, this is maybe rude, but appears to be retarded.
He's mentally handicapped.
He's not all there.
He appears to be a retarded patron. And that's why I think she feels bad. She's like, oh no, I hit retarded Randy.
I would argue that every patron at the Double Deuce in these first few scenes are on the scale of being slightly retarded.
They're on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Half of them definitely have Asperger's.
Well, there's two little great lines. Throughout this whole movie, there's a lot of ADR where they record the lines after the movie's shot. And one, during a fight scene, guy's like, God damn it, you're ripping my best shirt. That's like during a scene where he's getting like pummeled on the ground.
Did anyone else notice that the music the band's playing is so low?
Yes.
In this movie? Like, while the band's playing, you hear people on the dance floor scream out, yeah! Way louder than the music itself.
The other thing they have is they clearly were like, when you guys are talking, like the woman that's the waitress, what's her name?
Baby Joan Cusack?
Who plays Luke's sister on Gilmore Girls, who is, like, she's his pal.
Kathleen Wilhoit.
What's that?
Nobody.
They were clearly in one scene, they were like, well, we're going to have music and stuff, so talk loud. So she is literally screaming at Patrick Swayze in one scene, even though there is barely no music
There's
in the scene
There's barely music,
at all.
Yeah. She's
like, what's your name? Oh, I heard about you.
I thought like, you'd be bigger. And clearly, that was
What did you say?
Oh, there's so many great bad insult lines. This is, I wrote this down too. It says, girl comes over, she says, vodka rocks. Then one of the guys on the spectrum goes, how about nipple to nipple? Yeah.
I wrote that line down too.
And then she replies, I can do that myself.
What?
Nope.
What are these?
Nipple
to nipple.
She's just pushing her boobs together. Yeah.
Boom, nipple to nipple.
I would like to see that. You do see her tits later. But she definitely can't do it.
Will you see her having sex
Well, with the bartender who's on break. And
no, that's a different girl.
Oh, it's a different girl.
No, this is Ben. That's Ben Gazzara's girl, isn't it? Who orders vodka rocks? Isn't it?
Oh, you're right.
But
yeah,
that seems crazy though when Patrick Swayze catches them having sex in the like inventory closet because he opens the door. They're in darkness. They are flooded with light.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a spotlight hit them. They keep on fucking for a while.
Yeah.
But there's nothing more sexy in that scene than the guy pulling up his tidy whities.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, get these on. And it's so uncomfortable. But when he's having sex with her, he does say, you're going to be my regular Saturday night thing. That's like a sexy thing to say in the
middle
of
the break. Girls like being called a thing, right?
He also says, though, I think to her earlier in that scene when he's at a table with her, man, you're so well put together.
Yeah.
What?
Then he goes, I get off at 2, and I'm going to get you off. That guy has a million great lines in this movie.
I got to say, I think I do like Ben Gazzara because Ben Gazzara to me, you know, he's rich in this town, but he kind of feels like Richie Rich. Like, because there is a scene like where he like longingly looks at like Patrick Swayze and he's like riding an RV. You ever remember that scene where he's just like riding an RV on his own property?
Oh, you mean when Patrick Swayze is shirtless in sweatpants doing Tai Chi?
Oh, yeah. That happens for a long time.
A bunch. It happens a bunch.
Patrick Swayze is a guy who will read philosophy, do Tai Chi, smoke cigarettes. That Tai Chi sequence.
Bareback fuck Kelly Lynch because it's the 80s, so we don't need condoms, right?
Oh,
wrong.
No.
AIDS just happened.
This may be the reason why AIDS broke out this town.
Everybody.
Jasper.
This movie.
There was no AIDS monkey. It was Jasper.
This movie is all raw dogging. Like, everybody's raw dogging everybody. It is filthy. Jasper, I'm assuming it's Texas. It is like chlamydia herpes capital of the world.
It starts here, it goes there. They're ground zero.
She's a doctor.
Yeah.
She's a doctor. Anything's happening.
I don't trust.
1989, yeah.
She's like, you're a bouncer at a bar. I'm sure you're safe. Put it in me raw. Who cares?
Well, she knows that he's safe because he carries his own medical files with him.
And when she looks
through it, she's like, oh, you went to NYU. Why would that be in a medical file? He went to NYU for philosophy. She's like, well, great. I'm going to go seduce you wearing my picnic dress, which is basically like a tablecloth of a picnic.
A smock.
No, in that
one, it's the picnic dress. Later, she shows up at his house to fuck, and she is wearing a smock. She's wearing a lacy, weird smock and no underwear.
And no bra.
And no bra.
Do you want to play the
sex scene? It's called Easy Access for Raw Dogging.
That's right.
And Swayze, by the way, not wearing underwear. And later you see Sam Elliott's pubes also not wearing underwear. Nobody wears underwear in this movie.
They can't. They gotta be ready to raw dog at any moment.
Guys,
they're raw dogging.
It is not hygienic.
It should have been called Raw Dog House. Here is a sex scene. There's no nudity, so kids, don't worry about it.
Don't worry, kids. You do see her tits for a minute. I looked.
Oh, at the end. I think at the end. This is the sex scene. Here we go.
What's he doing with his shoulders? He does so much shoulder work in this scene.
She goes for it.
This doesn't.
Ah! Look at his shoulders. No underwear. These are the I'm in. No conversation about safe sex? Nope, nothing.
Nothing.
This is the real Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah. Now look here at the perspective of their body sizes in a minute.
She's giant,
he's tiny. She's giant and he's tiny.
Yeah. And that fireplace cannot feel good against her back.
No. The worst place to have sex is up against hard brick. Uneven, jagged brick.
He is barely as tall as her neck.
Why is she laughing?
He just told her a good one about his
dick. Oh, he does so much tongue work, too. Oh, yeah. She, look at how big her body is. Her torso is as big as him from butt to head.
He's like, this is like a dance sequence. He's like just,
they do dance, right? They do dance, yeah.
And that's, and I, yeah, that, yeah, there it
is. All of his fight moves are dance moves as well.
Well, the big fight scene looks like a choreographed ballet between two guys who are not fighters. I mean, Patrick Swayze is fighting a guy who looks like a bizarro, like Patrick Duffy, you know? And they just like, there's a lot of dancing,
somewhere,
a lot of spins.
Somewhere right now, Patrick Duffy's like, someone's talking about me. I know it. I can feel it. Someone is talking about me. Hooray.
All right. There, did we talk about the monster truck?
Did we talk about his mock turtleneck?
Oh no, what mock turtleneck?
He's wearing like the black mock turtleneck. He looks like Steve Jobs in one scene.
Yeah.
He's
Swayze?
Like, he's Swayze. He's telling them the three rules, be nice, blah, blah, blah. He's wearing like a Steve Jobs mock turtleneck. I half expect him to be like, but there's one more thing. That's a Steve Jobs line, guys. He is
R.I.P. Steve Jobs. Did you notice that Keith David was in this movie? Keith David has one line, which is, whiskey's running low. That's it. Main build in the credits.
Yep.
Fourth build person in this movie.
Does he ever even help out in a fight?
Nope.
He's a huge guy.
Nope. He just is a bartender. Clearly, his subplot was cut out because it would break the rule of having a black person in this movie.
Yep.
They did not, like, there's only white people here. And yeah, but that's, I don't know what happened. I hope someone has some Roadhouse trivia. What happened with Keith David's great character?
Keith David is here, I think, and he's ready. I'm just kidding.
Thank you very much.
There's an ADR line in there as well during the first kind of big fight where somebody goes, that's Dalton. He's our new cooler. As if somebody is saying to someone else, like, no duh, obviously we've got a cooler, and he's the new one.
But wait, what about the whole fact that the coolers have some sort of network in which they communicate? At one point, Patrick Swayze calls up Sam Elliott, and he goes, oh, yeah, heard you're working in Jasper. How? Yep. Are they on like an internet message board? Like they're getting on Prodigy posting, like, I'll be here. All right, what's going on here? They're like, yeah, I heard about you. Oh, yeah, I heard about that guy. Like,
That's a crazy scene, too, though, because after Swayze says, like, I'm having a really hard time, there's a lot going on in this town, Sam Elliott just says, gotta go. And hangs up the phone.
Like, Swayze kind of macho code is clearly calling to ask for help,
yeah.
But can't say, I need help. And Sam Elliott doesn't pick up on it and just hangs
not
up
at
on
all.
Sam Elliott appears to be working at a bar that is having not a wet t-shirt contest, a wet G-string contest. Because the ladies
all
are already topless. So they're just spraying down their vaginas.
But
so that everybody can get a yeast infection.
Oh.
Too gross? Like a really gross one, like with discharge.
Okay.
Like fettuccine Alfredo, guys.
Boy.
Oh, I'm going to do this. Boy. We're going there. Getting worse.
I have a clip of some yeast infections right now.
We have a bunch of clips of yeast infections now. We're going to show them.
This is a protective service.
Ladies, clean it up!
This is a small moment, but the owner, that guy Kevin Ty, the owner of the Double Deuce, at one point, you know, the bar is in great disrepair before Patrick Swayze shows up, and he walks by the phone, and on the wall it says, for a great fuck, call, and there's a number, and he's like, oh boy. Takes out a pen.
First he looks around to be like, is anybody looking at what I'm going to do?
By the way, it's his bar. He can do whatever he wants. And then he looks around, pulls out a pen.
Is there a baby?
Yeah, it is.
Is there a literal baby in this show?
This baby is learning everything it needs to do about life
now.
Wait
a second. Is there a teeny tiny baby that I just said vaginal discharge in front of?
We showed that teeny tiny baby a sex scene, and we've talked about vaginal discharge.
How old is the baby? Oh, yeah, what? Now you're keeping your secrets.
Must be a pretty young baby if he refuses to answer.
One and a half?
One and a half.
One and a half, okay, that's too old. If it was a tiny baby, I would like to hold the baby.
That baby doesn't even know how old it is.
If you brought a tiny baby, please bring it up here. I would like to hold it for the rest of the show. Because I'm only going to say more horrible things, and it's only going to be funnier if I'm holding a baby.
bring us your baby.
Because here's the thing. It's kind of weird if I said something, but then if I'm holding an infant and I say cunt punch,
it's fine.
It's going to be pretty fucking great. Funny.
Andrew Dice Clay held the baby for the last 6 years of his act, doing those nursery rhymes. So he sees this thing for a great fuck call, looks around, and changes it to Buick. Like he makes the F into a B, adds an I, and then changes the K into an H. Or no. Yeah, well, I don't know how you spell Buick. No, doesn't.
Hey,
sorry, guys.
Wait,
sorry.
Wait,
sorry. For a wait, second, no, wait. He doesn't change the K. Buick is right.
I don't know why. I don't know why there isn't a hilarious scene where one of those, you know, dirtbags that works at the bar that probably wrote that answers his phone and goes, for the 40th time, yeah. I don't have a Buick. And slams down his phone.
That would be amazing.
It's Keith David's whole phone number. That was his whole plot line.
No, it's not a Buick. That's the excised story.
Oh man, I have a couple clips. I didn't know if just so you guys get a sense of the villain that Patrick Swayze has to fight. I
want that baby.
Do you like this baby?
Give me your baby. You brought this, offer it as a sacrifice.
This is how tough Ben Gazzara is beating up his gang. All right, so here we go.
Sorry. You disgust me, O'Connor. You want to know why you disgust me?
No, why, boss?
Because you're a bleeder. You bleed too much. You are a messy bleeder.
Lots of dick punches in this movie.
You got no endurance for pain.
Your balls in the back of your neck bleed too much.
Come on.
Check out that monster truck in the back.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Come on.
Look at his boots.
Well, help him up.
Watch this.
You're going to be fine. And you know why? Because I like you.
Then, by the way, they're casually driving that monster truck in that scene. Like, they just pull up to the house in a monster truck.
There is a scene later in the movie where Patrick Swayze finishes work for the night, comes out to the parking lot. There's no cars there, but Kelly Lynch is standing there provocatively next to her Jeep. And they get in her Jeep and they drive away. And the two dudes have been spying on them in the parking lot in a monster truck.
That's correct.
It is as if he, like, walks out the door. There is a Jeep and a hot girl, and there's a monster truck over
giant,
there.
That giant monster truck.
Which he ignores and is just like, well, here's my girl. I guess I'm going to raw dog her for a little while. And then the bad guys are like, hey, we got you now. Like, if you're going to stake someone out, don't do it in, like, the biggest, in, like, a truck that is a two-story truck.
That monster truck is amazing. The monster truck comes into play later on when Ben Gazzara starts treating the town gets behind Dalton, obviously, because Patrick Swayze is the best. And then he's like, I got to teach him a lesson. So he blows up an auto parts store, and then he just lets a monster truck drive through the showroom of a car dealership and destroy every one of the cars.
There is no law.
Yeah, but in terms of his business plan, too, like, he wants more money from these establishments. He's destroying all of them. Yeah. Like, there's no...
Well, he wants everybody to stay in line. He's like, you gotta pay me my money, and you gotta stay in line, because
right,
he destroys
the... blows up the auto parts
and,
place.
There are explosions in this
left
movie
and right.
That are so big that they literally are like, it'll be like... like a little bit of an explosion, and it'll be like, oh, no, God, everything's okay. Oh, no, Red's auto shop is on fire. And then the place will blow up like Hiroshima. Like, it will be an enormous explosion.
And normally these are just like wood cabin kind of places that they're blowing up, that they would not have this much, you wouldn't need that much to blow up these places.
Yeah.
But they are, every place is a gas factory, and it's like, at the end when Patrick Swayze lets his Mercedes loose, that blows up like a crazy thing too. Ignites on fire. I call her like Bobo Lonnie Anderson, which is Ben Gazzara's girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, she gets a classic 80s movie treatment in that she gets out of line, so she gets beat up a little.
Just a little.
But by the way, when Patrick Swayze walks into his home and sees her there and sees that, like, she's his girl, she's doing a workout.
Gazara's girl.
She's doing, like, an 80s workout and has, clearly has a black eye, but instead of turning her face, she continues to look at Patrick Swayze and just covers one eye.
Don't see it. You don't see it now.
It's covered.
I feel like this is an era when it was like, oh no, we gotta tell people it's not cool to hit ladies. Because up until then, apparently it was. I feel like people were just like, punching ladies is cool.
Well, but I mean, Patrick Swayze,
he's gonna step up and
well,
be like,
and that's why, too, though, that's why Kelly What's-Her-Face is a doctor in the movie. Because it's also like late 80s, early 90s counterpoint to all these.
Yes.
Weird. Like hoochies running around.
That baby
me
agrees.
Your baby. I want that baby. I'm coming to get
you
it.
You gotta
soon.
Cord this mic. Why don't you just go stand near it?
I'm gonna find that baby, you guys.
God.
But the beat up girlfriend of Ben Gazzara also does like a striptease in the middle of the movie to reveal the biggest granny panties of all time.
They're so crazy. They're granny panty thongs, which is the wildest combination I ever.
So
did
wide
see.
Back, and then it gets real narrow at the bottom, yeah. Right? Yeah, they're like white cotton pants. It's unsettling how, especially because you know thongs exist because we've seen it earlier
G-string
at the wet
contest.
G-string contest. So she should. First of all, she's the only person in this movie that I'm convinced wears underwear.
She is.
Yeah,
that is for sure true.
If you're gonna wear underwear, make it provocative.
Her and the guy in tighty whities.
Oh, yeah,
you see him pull those.
You only can wear underwear if it's weird.
Wait a second. Maybe only the bad guys in this movie wear underwear. That's what delineates them. Bad guys wear underwear. Good guys just.
Well, here's the thing though, because both her and the guy who pulls up his tighty whities are wearing white underwear, which would tell me they're good guys.
But that's the thing. You don't have to be white because Patrick Swayze's kind of. You know,
he's got a dark side. But when we see Patrick Swayze, when what's her name comes to bring him breakfast, we see his bare butt, and she basically comes when she sees it.
Oh, God.
He like gets out of bed, and you see his butt, and she's like, like she like full blown comes, and then
right,
he's
baby?
Like, here's some coffee, and he puts jeans on, no underwear.
Nope.
I was very excited that the final fight scene where Patrick Swayze has to fight like the main bad guy's henchman, he was fighting a denim on top, denim on bottom bad guy,
yep.
Which is
top.
Denim shirt, denim pants.
Denim on bottom.
I wanted to show. This is just a classic scene. Everyone knows her
so
has
good.
Heard about the throat rip, but there's a little moment before that's worthy of showing. Here we go. Take a look. This is the big final fight.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
What? What?
Little gun, baby gun.
I want to kill you the old-fashioned way.
You would think that ripping out his throat, he wouldn't need a finishing move. She's checking out.
Already dead.
Is the throat out? Yeah, the throat's out. This guy's gone.
Throat's gone. Already dead.
The
he
throat
kicked him into
rip.
The water so that he would bleed out in the water.
It would take him
mess.
Minutes
not on the beach.
To die. It would take him minutes to die. She could have saved him. She's a doctor. Keep
a
in
throat
mind,
rip
that
is...
character is a doctor.
I do like that the throat rip is his signature move.
Like, earlier in the movie, somebody's like, I heard he killed a guy. He ripped his throat out.
Well, you knew that was coming later when they set that up in the first 5 minutes. We got to see the throat rip. But that's a crazy, brutal move.
And then he almost rips Gazzara's throat out.
Yeah, he stares at his hand.
Ah,
gets it ready
he's
to
like,
go.
I want to do this.
Should we? Let's have the house
that
lights
throat
on.
Looks so good.
We can open up to some questions. If you guys have any questions about things that we haven't talked about, we still have to talk about the grizzly bear.
Well, you should ask the baby first.
Baby questions.
We also
baby
need to
has
talk
any
about
questions.
Raise your hand if you have a question.
I wanted to know if you could talk about the irony of Patrick Swayze always. You know, talking about how important it is to be nice to everybody and just, you know, just he says that many times in the movie and then just beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
He never doesn't get into a fight.
The three rules that he has is always be nice.
Yeah.
And, well, that's one of the three. That's the most important one. And he's the most violent dude in the entire town.
He has, like, he's capable of, like, Wolverine-level blind rage.
Yes. Where is that baby?
We've got baby Wolverine.
Now that the lights are on, I'm going to find you, baby. Don't you worry, baby. I'm looking for you. I'm coming for your baby, wherever you are.
Where is that baby?
Where is this baby?
Where
is
it? Over here.
Where is your baby?
Baby's right over here.
Where
it's over
is
here.
This baby?
Right here. Baby is on the aisle.
Give me your baby.
Scared.
We're going over.
I see you, baby.
Very cute
I'm
baby.
So
I
very
see you, baby. Oh, my God. What a cute baby.
Don't ever date Ben Gazzara when you get older.
Do they ever explain how he got the skills to beat the shit out of everybody? Was there ever a backstory?
There's no backstory,
well,
right?
He's never been
a cooler.
He seems to be Sam Elliott's protege, right?
So but
Sam
Elliott. There was a moment, though, where he was studying philosophy at NYU and then became the most badass guy in the world.
Yeah, he doesn't have a kind of, like, backstory that involves, like, he was in the military or he was blah, blah, blah. He really just, Sam Elliott, the thing we haven't talked about is Sam Elliott comes in, like, 3/4 of the way through the movie, and as far as I'm concerned, the true love story in this movie is Swayze and Sam Elliott.
Yeah,
because
man.
They hug and caress each other to a degree that is shocking.
And by the way, you know when Sam Elliott's about to throw down because he pulls his hair back in a scrunchie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the most awkward scene is basically, you know, so what Patrick Swayze's kind of into this girl. They've slept together. And then he introduces him to Sam Elliott. And Sam Elliott kind of starts trying to take her away from Patrick Swayze. They have, like, a very sexy dance.
Yeah. And then he says something like, as she's walking away, he says... A woman shouldn't be that smart.
No, he says she's got too much brains to have that good of an ass.
Yeah. Which I do agree with, but she's wearing a huge... I do. But she's wearing a very blousy, poofy pleated skirt. There's just no way he could know that.
She is a doctor's salary. She should get a much better outfits.
Especially, and she's been up all night and is going in to start her shift.
Yeah. She goes,
guess
in to take a quick
need.
Nap.
Guess what I don't need on somebody who's about to perform surgery on me? That they've been raging all night with maniacs.
All right, what's your question?
All right, what's the better line? Polar bear fell on me or pain don't hurt?
Ooh.
This guy is a fan. Or he wrote the movie.
Well, I will have to play this polar bear. My vote is the polar bear. Because when else can you say a polar bear fell on me?
And by the way, it's also an amazing button to a crazy scene. This is the scene where... Do you have the whole scene?
I just have the polar bear scene.
Oh.
But you'll see what we're talking about. Here we go.
Dalton is loose in the mansion, and all the bad guys are looking for him.
And here is what happened.
And this is the fattest, dumbest one. He doesn't like scary animals.
He's like, I feel like
dead.
My character would have tape on a couple of his fingers.
All right.
Because maybe he got hurt or something. Gazzara.
I may not have queued this up perfectly. Here we go. Oh, here we go.
I think he did get his fingers smashed earlier in the movie.
Wait. Guys, that is not Dom DeLuise.
Made for each other.
Then Patrick Swayze goes, you guys are made for each other. Again, an insult that doesn't really pay off. It's like,
Does anybody in fear make the... has anybody ever made that noise?
Well, that's a crazy moment, too, because... Okay, so he says, I hate this place, acknowledging that there are a lot of animals who are dead here and stuff. So in that moment where he's shooting the polar bear, does he genuinely thinks that polar bear's real? I'm asking this genuinely, you guys. This is not
Let's dig into this.
He thinks there's a polar bear coming at me.
I do believe
because
that because
the
there
reaction.
Also, by the way,
bear coming
there
at him.
Is, but
why couldn't he just
stuck.
Do this?
Yeah.
Move
That's
to
what
the
I'm
left.
Saying. Why is he shooting him?
He has three options. Stay completely still. Move to the right, move to the left. He could have done either, and he stood still.
Stood still, and then
fired. Shoots at him. And then there's a scene later on where he decides to, because he does survive this, he's not killed by the fake polar bear.
Spoiler alert.
Huge spoiler alert. And then
so that he can have a spinoff, we hope.
Fingers crossed. And then later on, when he decides to join the good guys, he looks at the stuffed monkeys for a long time.
Well, the stuffed monkeys are in the position of see no evil, hear no evil.
Did you see that?
I didn't realize that.
The sheriff comes and says, what happened here?
By the way, the first time you see the cops is after Ben Gazzara is brutally murdered in his own house. Probably the only time not in public a person is killed.
This is what happens. Like, it's the end of the movie, and Patrick Swayze, Ben Gazzara has Patrick Swayze dead to rights with a gun.
I have it. I can play it, right?
Oh, you can?
Yeah,
okay.
Here we go.
It's over!
These are the townsfolk whose businesses he's been ruining. That guy's weird.
The guy is still stuck behind the polar bear. You'll see him in a second. Polar bear.
This is our town, and don't you forget it.
What?
Still stuck. That was it. And then basically the cops come in.
So then the cops come in and say, what happens here? And all the townspeople are like, and it's intense, right? Because they all just murdered him in cold blood. And everybody says, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything. And then Trapped Under Polar Bear goes, I was trapped under, a polar bear fell on me. And everybody goes, ha, 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 ha.
Everybody's a dead man.
They are murderers. They are murderers.
But did they call the cops?
No.
Who called them?
I don't know, but this is also the first time the cops have shown up to anything.
Yeah.
And they come in force, the sheriff.
Well, the police, I mean, the fire department did show up when Red's auto shop blew up.
Yes, they came. That was the only time you saw any federal involvement in this town. Any other
right
questions?
Here.
Yeah, okay, this question over here.
So, one of the bouncers, didn't look like they were letting in underage patrons in the bar, and wasn't that the same guy that was like caught like having sex?
Well, that's the girl. He lets in the girl with a Sears card. He says, "This is a Sears card," and then he lets him in, and then he plows her in the storage.
Sure.
Yeah, and she's probably under 18. She's probably
and
16.
He
years
is
old.
Not wearing a condom. No.
Guys, it doesn't matter when you're under 18. You can't get any diseases.
It's not. That's
true.
Right. Because the female body has a way of shutting that down.
Yeah.
True. That is true.
I mean, it's been getting a lot of attention lately.
Right,
it's right there, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
It's totally cool.
It's called
totally
legitimating.
Cool. Yeah.
She can't get pregnant.
Let's see. I'm going to go around. Right. Yeah, what's your question?
If this movie was remade today, who would replace Patrick Swayze?
Ooh, good question.
Such a good question.
Wow.
Guys, let's all fucking think about this for a second.
Who could replace Patrick Swayze?
I don't have to think about it for very long.
Statham is pretty good, but a little on the nose.
Liam Neeson would be the Sam Elliott character.
Liam Neeson, you're right.
He could play Patrick Swayze's dad, Liam Neeson.
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron? Really? Shame on you. Shame on you. Zac Efron!
Oh, I got it. I got it.
It's not a Nicholas Sparks novel,
I got
lady.
It. Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum, Liam Neeson, let's do this!
Guys, holy shit, that's a fucking home run movie.
I would see that movie in a heartbeat. Remake that.
Get Joe Carnahan to direct it. The guy,
who would be Ben Gazzara?
The Gray.
And there's a wolf, just cuz. there's a question here.
Oh, wait, Clint Eastwood should be Ben Gazzara.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Now, I know that you've heard a lot about Audible, and I'm going to ask you to see if you knew everything that there is to know about Audible. For example, did you know that Audible has an A-list collection? Oh, Paul, what's an A-list collection? Oh, I don't know. It's just an area where you can hear major, huge celebrities like Dustin Hoffman, Samuel Jackson, and Anne Hathaway reading your favorite classics. Not shitty books, classic books. All right? I'm talking about Dustin Hoffman reading Pride and Prejudice. I don't think he does read that, but that would be pretty good. Did you know that Audible audiobooks can be played on your iPhone? Got it. Android? Got it. Kindle Fire, need it. Windows Phone, don't have it. And over 500 MP3 players. So if you are a person that has that one MP3 player that does not play an Audible book, you're an idiot. First of all, get yourself a nice MP3 player. Get yourself an... Why don't you have an iPhone? Question that. And most importantly, this is the best part about Audible. You can get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial by visiting audiblepodcast.com. I know you've heard it a lot. I know you haven't done it. So why don't you do it now? Get that free trial by visiting audiblepodcast.com/HOW. That's the name of this show. So audiblepodcast.com/how. Get that free trial. Get that free book. You need a suggestion? Well, today's movie is Roadhouse. Patrick Swayze reads his own memoir called The Time of My Life. I'm sure he tells some stories about Roadhouse in there. You want to hear Sam Elliott also in Roadhouse talk? He's on Charlie Rose, just chatting it up in 2007, back when things were looser and the world is a whole different area. You can look at all that stuff at audiblepodcast.com. And if you type in /how, you get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial. Guys, I don't know what to tell you. More than this is a great deal.
It always comes to this time where obviously we had an opinion about this movie that it's awesome, and other people also agree. These are reviews that were culled from Amazon. It's time for a second opinion. These are great reviews, 5-star reviews on Amazon about Roadhouse. Here it goes. This is the greatest movie I own. It has everything you could ever want. Fighting, boozing, strippers, blowed up buildings, and a monster truck. Plus, there's a character who gets his throat ripped out by a sweaty Patrick Swayze. 5 stars. That criteria is never matched in any other movie. If those are the only things that he wants, not looking up. This one is a great one. It sneaks up on you like an STD, and you don't literally know you have it until you really have it. From Swayze's peacock mullet to his grease-up body doing slow-mo kung fu moves, this movie is art for artists. Then these are just like little ones that I liked in here too. Make no mistake about it. This is about violence, not dancing or romance. Some scenes are, all caps, very sexy. Especially in the back of the bar when they're on break. He spells break B-R-A-K-E. If you know what I mean. Okay. Sharp Marble writes, a classic guys movie that has parts for gals, too. June, did it have parts for gals?
It had a few parts for gals.
I also thought it was really weird that Patrick Swayze falls in love with Kelly Lynch's character, whose name is Elizabeth, but only calls her Doc for the whole movie.
Yeah.
So he's like, listen, Doc, you gotta get out of here. Like, what?
Did anyone else notice, too, when we're first introduced to her, she has on glasses and her hair's like pulled back in a French braid. When she goes out on her first date with Swayze, she styles her hair in like Swayze bangs.
Yep.
Did you notice that?
And never wears her glasses ever
never
again.
Never wears, and they were amazing. I thought that was her best look.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, she's got to wear those glasses to show everybody at work that she's really smart.
Super smart.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I mean, look at that. She works on an x-ray machine that I've never seen before, too, like an automated x-ray. She's like, oh, she's in there doing x-rays. I don't know what she's looking at, but she's looking at a ton of x-rays.
Ton of x-rays at once.
Yeah.
Just like all just, of the...
It's almost like a rotating thing of x-rays. Oh, I got to examine all these people's x-rays all together. All right, so I think we covered everything. This is the Mount Everest of bad movies. It's not a bad movie. It's a great movie executed amazingly.
Oh, this movie, we do movies that I would never recommend people watch, The Last Airbender. And this is one everybody should leave currently and watch immediately.
This goes up in the pantheon of like Fast Five, Crank 2, and Roadhouse. They are the must-owns of the How Did This Get Made collection. They are amazing.
So that brings us to the end of our first live episode from Bumbershoot. Just a reminder to watch NTSF, SD, SUV on Adult Swim every Thursday night at 12:15, starring myself and June. And Jason Mantzoukas is still not on Twitter, but I am at Paul Scheer. June is at June Diane Raphael. Make a comment. Put it on our iTunes page. We love it. And continue to send us cool shit. We got a bunch of neat fan art. We appreciate it all. All right. See you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.